Blog Talk Radio.
Forgot that disco sucks. I ended up with nobody and I started feeling dumb. Maybe I should play the lead guitar and Pat should play the drums. Take me back to the shack, back to the shots with the lightning strap. Kick in the door, more hardcore, rocking out like it's 94. Let's turn up the radio, turn off the I can find out who I am. I'm letting all of these feelings out, even if it means I fail. Cause this is what I was meant to do, and you can't put that on sale. Take me back to the shack, back to the shack with the lightning strap. Kicking the door, more hardcore, rocking out like it's 94. Let's turn up the radio, turn off those stupid things.
I didn't watch much of the undercard. It was
Somebody Ooh. Ali. I saw a part of it, but I
Ali looks like the next great fighter out of New York.
Yeah, I mean, he has his name for it, I guess.
Then Klitschko fought the Philly guy. I was all about the Philly guy.
Brian Jennings.
Yeah, he was undefeated.
19-0 going into it.
Yeah, so I don't know.
I thought he did a decent job. He went the full 12, which a lot of people didn't expect. I mean, he was a plus 829 money line, which was minus 1320. So the odds were heavily favored.
I didn't even see that. Wow.
I put a little fun thing on Jennings, which is real small, just for fun. You know,
right. We don't bet for real money here. That would
right.
be illegal.
But
for entertainment purposes.
For entertainment
only.
Purposes. I mean, real small, just because the odds are crazy, and he's from Philadelphia. I thought he gave a good fight. You know, he got some good shots on Klitschko. I thought he hit him with a couple good shots. He lost the fight, but I think he was respectable. I think he's making a name for himself. I think he has a future in boxing for sure.
Jennings. I hope this kid gets a rematch. I don't think it's gonna happen.
No, I don't see a rematch happening. I mean, they even asked Klitschko after the fight, and he said something like it wasn't that close where you have to fight away.
Right. Well, the other thing is, there was another fighter who was 31-0, and they mentioned him during the fight several times. He was sitting ringside. The big difference was that Jennings wouldn't spar with Klitschko, and this guy would.
Yeah, I heard Roy Jones Jr. Talking about that, the advantages, disadvantages. I think it's a disadvantage. I agree with Roy Jones. Why would you go down there to spar with a guy who you're going to fight, especially when you're the underdog going into the fight?
The reason why is because if you're poor and you get a free trip to Europe, you're going to say no.
It's not really a free trip. It's a business trip.
It's a business trip, but, you know.
And was it after they had scheduled this fight, or was it prior to them scheduling this
prior.
Fight?
It's prior. It's while he was still a contender.
Okay.
But I'm just saying, like,
I still wouldn't, though. If you feel like you're going to have a chance for a heavyweight title, you don't really want to take the secrets away.
Yeah, so I agree with you wholeheartedly. So other than that, though, I mean, have you been paying attention to the Phillies?
Yeah, of course. They took 2 out of 3 against the Lions. It's a pretty good series.
I wish I updated the soundboard and had the Major League clip. They still suck.
Yeah. I mean, that's going to be a reoccurring theme this entire season. I don't think anybody.
Harang looks legit.
Yeah, he had
and
a couple good decent starts.
I can tell you that.
Yeah, he looks legit on a 65-win Phillies team.
Doesn't matter. He led the league last year in quality starts, and he's going to get you something at the deadline. Not much, but he'll get you something.
I'll take it.
Absolutely.
At this point, I'll take anything you can get.
How about Odubriel Herrera? He looks a lot better than a Bull 5 pick.
Yeah.
He looks like he's going to stick around in the majors.
Yeah, I think he'll stick around, especially on this team. I don't want to get too excited about him.
I'm very excited. I don't think
when
he's
you say
got
very there. Excited, what, where's your ceiling?
Shane McDreamer. My ceiling.
And what's your floor?
Shane McDreamer's my floor.
Well,
I don't think he's got – I think he is what he is. I mean, he's got a guy who's going to give you speed and he's going to give you average. And he's going to give you decent building. So,
yeah,
I think he's a guy with medium ceiling, medium floor. And I think he's got really high floor, low ceiling.
I mean, I don't know. Shane Victorino, he can't be the ceiling and the floor.
I think he is. I think that's what exactly.
Then
what
we got Shane Victorino.
I think
a lot of Philly fans would be happy with that.
Oh, we've got a call.
We got a call.
Hello, caller. You're online.
Hello.
Hey.
Hey, this is Kev Ryan again. This is Kev Ryan calling.
What's up, Kev? How you doing?
Well, this girl last night, I was with, you know, she was so wet.
This is a G-rated show, Kev. Keep it
clean. Hey, Kev. Right now we're trying to get on iTunes, so be very careful where we're going.
It's actually my buddy Vince. He called in a couple weeks ago, making another appearance. What's going on?
Hey, how you doing? What's the topic?
Right now we're talking about the Phillies.
We're talking about the Phillies.
We're about to go into the
draft. Yeah, it's going to mainly be a draft show. So what's your quick take on the Phillies, then talk about the
Oh, the Phillies are a lot better than I thought.
Yeah, I mean, They're close to 500. Who do you like on the team? You like anybody or not really?
You like anybody to stick around past the beginning?
I don't like anybody on the team, but they're winning games.
They just took 2 out of 3 versus Atlanta.
Yeah, that's pretty big.
Yeah, I think guys like Ferreira, Ashy, and Gallus have a shot to stick.
I didn't even know we had Jeff Francoeur until last week.
Yeah. He was the natural. He was on the cover of Sports Illustrated like 6 years ago as the natural, which is with the Braves.
Yeah, he was good with the Braves.
He started out with the Braves. He was pretty good. Him and McCann came up together.
Yeah, he was amazing as a rookie, but his skills deteriorated quickly after injuries.
Yeah. All right, so that's enough Phillies talk. Let's talk about the real topic. The draft on Thursday. What do you like?
For the draft?
Yeah.
Mariota. He might be coming.
You think they're going to go get him?
They might. They might do a surprise trade at the beginning. Trade for the 19th pick and trade away that.
What do you think they're going to have to give up to get him, though?
I don't know.
Vince, let me make you the GM. Would you give up Cox, Kendrick, Bradford, 19?
I'll give Bradford away.
I'm sorry. Yeah. Would you give all those guys away though?
Cox, Kendrick, Bradford, 19.
I mean 20.
Yeah, but it's gonna cost a lot more than it.
I'm just trying to see the price of it. I think it's a fun one,
man.
I think it's
a fun one, man. Vince, you want to give up Fletcher Cox, Michael Kendrick, the 20th pick? That's probably a first round next year, maybe a second round. And then if you trade
a... Can't give away second round.
That's a lot to give away.
Yeah. I mean, it's too much to give away, especially considering that Chip Kelly's still questionable and Mariota's still questionable.
Yeah.
I say give it all away. Do the deal.
You doing the deal, yes or no?
It's a tough call.
I agree. It is a very tough call. I would do it if you think he's...
It depends what the price is. If the price is lower than I'm anticipating, maybe. But at what I'm expecting the price to be, I just don't see it being worth it.
Franchise quarterback is over on trees.
And they don't grow on trees. It matters when they're being
franchise quarterback.
And what if Mariota comes in and he sucks? And everybody's going to say it's because he's a rookie. And then next year, if he doesn't play that well, this is second season. That's simple. I don't even want to get started on. Vince, you think Mariota's going to be a franchise quarterback?
He's going to have to be for first round pick.
He doesn't have to be. Do you think he will be? From what you know about him, do you think he'll be?
2 touchdowns.
College stats.
Amazing stats is what it is.
You think if the Eagles get Mariota, that they're going to win a Super Bowl in the next 5 years?
Well, it's more than just a quarterback.
Yeah.
I hear you. I agree.
I mean, getting a quarterback will help you win a Super Bowl.
Well, what do you want to see then? If they don't go up and get Mariota, is there anybody you got your eye on, or not specifically?
Not really, no.
Well, what positions would you like to see them get?
Positions gotta be the corners.
You don't think they need receiver help?
Oh, we need receiver help, of course, yeah. Along with corners and a safety.
Let me ask you this then, because me and Matt were having a talk about it before we got on. Would you take, say there's an outside linebacker, a pass rushing linebacker, who's, you know, a top 10 talent who happened to fall. Would you be happy taking him at 20 and there's a player, a top 10 talent falling, even though it might not be an absolute position of need right now? Who would you rather take in position of need? You go in best player available, you go in position of need. How long as the players are close to you, so huge
decision. Best player available.
Story.
Normally, I'd feel the same. It's just that with the whole Macklin signing, and with there's too big of holes in your team where you can't. There's no way to fill them in, and you can't. You only have 3 picks in the top 3 rounds. So if you don't see the Mariota deal, you've got to realize that after the first 2 rounds,
complete crapshoot, but I also got the extra score from Buffalo.
Right, and that's the crapshoot.
The same, you have three positions, you absolutely so damn still.
And every round that you wait from that, you're going to drop talent.
Yeah, I know, but it's just looking into it outside of the small picture, it's not the big picture, looking at a guy who's a potential superstar. I mean, also have linebacker, Brandon Ramsey's solid, and Connor Barnes is pretty good.
Hey, the problem is, where your team is now, you're a contender. So you need to build these holes now.
A legit contender.
Absolutely.
Vince, are you a legit contender to win a Super Bowl this season?
Absolutely.
This season? Of course.
Yeah.
He's a Philadelphia fan. He's going to say that.
11 wins, Garrett.
You really think that they're going to compete with Seattle, with Green Bay?
Yes, they'll compete.
They were a contender last year. They were 10-6 last year.
What happened?
Last year, you were a contender. What do you need to do to make the playoffs? They had a good record.
All right, but look what happened when they played contending teams. Seattle just dominated them. Green Bay blew them out.
You should have beat San Fran. You should have beat Arizona.
Those losses we had. We were competitive in every other game.
Yeah, but they still lost. They lost to Arizona. They weren't that competitive in the second Dallas game. The second Dallas game was a pretty big blowout.
I agree. But they beat them. They beat the hell out of them in the first game.
Yeah, they beat them in the first game. And then Dez Bryant decided that he was going to take advantage of the traffic.
Yeah.
I got it. Ah, shit, my foot's asleep. Shit. Ah!
What?
You okay,
man? My foot fell asleep. It hurts.
Yeah, I don't know.
Damn.
You think with a good draft that you could say that the Eagles are on Green Bay and Seattle's level? Because right now they're probably the top two in the NFC. You'd have to get through that.
Well, our schedule this year, we don't got to play some teams, thank God. But we got to play Tom Brady. That's a loss. Only 10 for that is an L. But besides that, the schedule, it doesn't look too bad.
I think the AFC is going to be tougher than it's been.
Their record's always inflated by playing.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think we can run through the AFC East, though.
What's your prediction on the Eagles?
Record?
Say they make the moves that you want them to make on Thursday. What's your prediction? Come January next season, where do the Eagles at?
The record, you mean?
I'd say
10-6 again.
10-6. So you really don't see any improvement. You just
stay 10-6 again.
Do you see a playoff win or probably not?
If that 10th win gets in the playoffs, I think we can get it one win, maybe. We ain't no Super Bowl team this year.
So let me say this then. So say they get Mariota. Say they make the blockbuster and they trade up for Mariota and they go 10-6 without a playoff win. Do you see that as a positive that they got a rookie quarterback and didn't fall off? Or do you see it as a negative that they didn't improve?
I see it as a negative for Chip Kelly.
What do you
see,
man?
I
see
it as a positive. Mariota 10-6. Especially because you're probably going to field your first rounder next year. So that will keep the value relatively low. And quarterback, it's all going to depend on what Mariota can actually do in that system. I personally think the easiest way or the best way to get a Mariota might not be to trade for this year. Let him flop for 2 years and all. I don't think he played any other system.
Yeah, but that's a risk. If you think he's going to be a franchise quarterback, a Super Bowl winning quarterback, then to say to go to another team, he's going to flop. That's pretty.
I hear you, but if you think about it, I think of things very, very different. Let's say Sam Bradford thrives in the system.
Yeah.
Which I think he very well could. Don't resign him. Franchise.
Yeah, I'm with you.
And then they get the two firsts.
I'm with you. I would franchise him in a
heartbeat. Hope for two first.
If we don't get Mariota and Sam Bradford has a good season, I'm all about franchising him. I don't want to give him a long-term deal all for one season.
Not
I would franchise him and see what happens.
Not only that, there's enough quarterback-hungry teams. They've been saying, if you franchise quarterback, someone's going to pay two first rounders for you.
Vince, you think Bradford's a hit or miss here?
If
he ends
up being
the quarterback on day one.
He ain't going to start. He has a bad leg.
Don't think he's going to start here?
He has a bad leg. He's a backup.
What about
Tebow? If you don't get Mariota.
Tebow,
that's right. Tebow. Forgot about him.
Is Tebow going to step in at any time?
Tebow might be a trade piece.
Who, Tebow or Brad?
Yeah, a big trade piece for Mariota. You get paid. He's playing a big role on Thursday night.
You think there's any spot on this roster for Tebow?
No. He ain't going to make the team. He'll be cut.
I agree. He has a good chance of that.
I hope he can make the team. I think he offers more than Barkley offers. I mean, they've been trying to trade Barkley. They got nothing for him, so.
Well, Tebow has his size. That's all he has going for him.
Right, and you could put him in different packages. I don't know. I mean, we'll see what happens. I don't think he'll make the team either.
Yeah, Vince, have you been watching the NBA playoffs at all?
The what playoffs of the NBA? Yeah. I was kind of disappointed to see Toronto go out so fast.
Yeah, Toronto got blown out. They got swept. That was surprising. Yeah. I didn't think Washington was going to sweep them.
Yeah, I thought Toronto would win at least a couple games there.
Cleveland was a sweep. I mean, the series to watch is clearly San Antonio Clippers. Who do you like coming out of
that? Yeah, that was a good game yesterday, the Clippers' first game.
Who do you think's coming out of that series?
I like the Spurs, though.
Spurs.
Everyone likes the Spurs.
I think the Spurs can win a championship.
Do you think they'll get through Golden State and then Cleveland?
Yeah.
You think Cleveland, with Kevin Love getting hurt, is going to really affect their future here this park season?
That's not going to help.
I think so. No, it's not going to help. But they said it might only be like a 2-week injury. So, you know, if they could win a couple, if they could even keep the series like 2-1, but he'll be back by game four of the next series.
Yeah, he'll be back. Yeah, it'll make a little bit of difference.
Chicago might be the toughest series, man.
Yeah, is that who they're going to play next round?
Yeah.
Yeah, they need Love in the beginning with Chicago.
And there's a big game 7 tonight.
Who's that?
The hockey game, Islanders and Capitals.
Oh, yeah.
Who do you like in that one?
I like the Islanders.
Islanders.
I'll take the Capitals.
They're saying that because he hasn't seen a game.
Dude, Alexander Ovechkin's a clutch player.
Yeah, he's a beast.
Yeah, I don't know. You guys both like Islanders. From what I've seen, I like the Capitals.
Yeah, we'll see tonight. See what happens.
All right, well, last thing we're going to talk about, Vince. Pacquiao Mayweather.
Pacquiao Mayweather. I don't really care, but if I had to pick, I'd say Mayweather.
Yeah, are you gonna watch the fight?
No, I'm not gonna watch the fight.
I agree, it's kind of expensive.
Yeah
I don't really care about boxing.
Yeah, I'm not a big boxing fan, but I'll probably watch that one just because it's like one of the things you gotta watch.
$100 or so, man.
Well, my brother. Just go over there.
Give me an invite.
Yeah, you can come. What was I going to say? So you think Cleveland's definitely coming out of the East, though, or no, with the Love injury?
Yeah, I'll take Cleveland. LeBron, come on.
I'll take Chicago.
Matt thinks Chicago's going to beat them now.
Nah, I don't think so. Cleveland's going to get it.
We shall see.
We'll see.
Kyrie better be Super Kyrie.
All right, Vince. Thanks for calling. Yo, call back again next week if you can.
Yeah, what day is it going to be on? Monday?
Next
week.
It's going to be Monday, too.
Are we going back to Tuesday next week?
No,
or?
Next week is Monday, too, and then we're going back to Tuesday.
Yeah, next week's Monday, and then we're going back to Tuesday the following week.
All right, well, I'll miss next week then, and I'll probably miss the following week.
All right.
Try to make it I'm off next Tuesday, Wednesday, then Wednesday, Thursday. What we can do, all right?
All right, well.
Try to figure something out.
Good calls. My buddy Vince had some good insight there.
Yeah, we touched on pretty much all the topics.
Yeah, but we just did a quick overview with him. We can really go over that.
All right, well, Garrett, you're the one. We also have a special call coming up from someone who's been following the minor league baseball even lower than I've followed.
Yeah, nice.
So she's going to hopefully give us a scouting report. It's actually a couple. Who scouts for goes to the games all the time. So hopefully we'll find that the Phillies are doing something down there. But so Gareth, what do you think about the NBA playoffs?
All right, so I mean it's been a pretty pretty lame. It's been pretty lame in the beginning just because a lot of sweeps. You know, Cleveland swept out, Golden State swept out, the Wizards surprisingly swept out. Memphis is up 3-0 on Portland, which I thought could have been a series. Doesn't look like it now. The Nets are hanging tough. They played all close games. They're down 2-1 at home. They have a chance to tie it up with the number one seeded Hawks. Chicago lost. Chicago's up 3-1. They're going to close it out tonight at home, I'm pretty sure.
Yeah.
So there's not really much. You know, the only series that's actually been tight has been, I guess you could say, the Nets-Hawks series a little bit, 2-1. And, of course, the Spurs-Clippers, which everybody coming into
Love City.
Yeah, everybody, you know, anticipated a tight series. I think that's the only one that has the potential to go to 7. I did say before that the Nets had a chance to upset the Hawks, but I don't know. Atlanta probably will win that series.
Yes, I agree.
It's really just going to come down. Kawhi Leonard's a monster. Let me tell you, he might be a top 5 player in the NBA. I don't know if he's a free agent. Is he?
Restricted.
He would be perfect for the Sixers to build their team around. A swingman who could play defense, he could shoot the three, he could drive, he could rebound, he could assist. He's like a miniature LeBron. He's like not as good as LeBron, but, you know, he's the same type of style. And if we can get Kawhi Leonard, Sixers with Noel, with Embiid turns into a player, if we get D'Angelo Russell stay in the first round this year, then you actually, Saric can come over, then you actually have a little bit of a future there.
Yeah, we'll see. The rumors are that the two big restricted free agents this year in the NBA are going to be Jimmy Butler and Kawhi Leonard.
Yeah, Jimmy Butler is really good too, but I would say Kawhi Leonard over Jimmy Butler for my choice.
Yeah, I hear you. Personally, I think you're a little high on Kawhi. He's a good player. I liked him coming out of college, but I'm not that high on him. I don't know if he's a max contract guy. I think that's how the Sixers got in trouble. I wouldn't mind giving him a max contract, offering both Kawhi Leonard and Jimmy Butler max deals and hoping one of them matches.
Yeah, but I don't know if I want to offer Jimmy Butler a max deal. I'd rather offer it to Kawhi or no.
I'd give it to both of them, hoping one of them sticks. I don't know what's going on with Kawhi. You don't know what's going on with Timmy. Timmy might decide to retire any day.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think the Spurs are going to let Leonard go. He's the future of the franchise. He's going to be who their team's built around. He's probably the best player on the team right now.
Yeah.
At this moment. So.
I don't know about that. I think that Tim Duncan is the most overlooked player in the NBA, and he has been for many years because he doesn't talk that much.
Well, I mean, yeah, he's still a beast. So basically, as I was saying with the NBA playoffs, now Kevin Love out, you'll see how that affects the series with Chicago. That's the Bucks. Oh, we've got a call coming in.
Got a call coming in. Hello, caller. You're on with Matt and Gare. How are you?
Good. How you doing?
Good.
This is Abel from Lakewood.
Hey, Abel. I reached out to Abel on Twitter. And
yep,
then,
that's me.
I believe your wife. You guys follow the Lakewood Blue Calls. Is that correct?
Yes. Yes, that's correct. We have kids staying with us. We host them.
Oh, wow, really?
From the team, huh?
Yeah, we host. Right now we got Carlos Tochi and Ricardo Pinto, the starting pitcher for the Blue Claws this year, and the outfielder.
Awesome.
Tochi.
So I'm assuming you guys go to a lot of games.
Yeah, well, for the 15 years here, I think I maybe missed like 30 games out of 15 years that I've been here.
Wow.
That they've been playing here.
That's amazing.
Yeah, that's pretty impressive. Who stands out down there for you?
Right now, well, the starting pitcher, the two kids I got at home, Pinto, he's a great, great, great pitcher. Very nice kid. He's got a nice fastball. Carlos Tochi's killing the league here right now this year. He's doing very, very well. We also have here Tyler Visa is doing pretty good this year here, pitching pretty good. You got a couple good prospects here this year. They got a great team. They've been doing a lot of error lately, but you got a good team. The bats are on fire. You got a kid named Canelo. He's guy, every time he's up to bat, he's getting his hits, running, bringing his runs in. They're doing really good this year. They're not winning their other games, but they're doing really good.
That's awesome. We definitely need more fundamentals up in Philly.
We definitely need some hits. I like to hear that there's a couple good bats down there.
Yeah, there's a couple good bats here. There's a couple good kids. The bullpen may need a little help, but other than that, they're doing really good. They're doing really good this year.
Okay,
every year we're
hoping that the GM gets you a lot. I'm sorry?
Every year we help the kids out here.
Oh, that's awesome.
Every year
we'll
be helping kids. We always have the kids in our house. We invite them over. We have them in here. We cook for them. We celebrate the birthday parties here in our house. Their family come and hang out with us in our house. If they come from, and a lot of the kids that we get here are from other, from Venezuela, Santo Domingo, they're Spanish, Latin America. So the family, when they come here, we're Spanish ourselves. We invite them over. We cook all together. We have most of our team in our house, hanging out, and just having a good time.
That's pretty cool. Has anybody stayed with you who ended up making it up to the Phillies Big League Club, or?
In our house we have Domingo Santana, who's in Houston Astros. Jonathan Villar, he used to come stay here all the time with him. Luis Alberto Bonilla with the Texas Rangers. Sebastian Baez, who was with the Phillies, who's now with the Pirates.
Yeah.
And Antuna, yeah. So we also have Severino Gonzalez that's been here with us, who just got called up this week for the Phillies.
Nice.
Yeah, we also go to Trenton.
That's pretty cool.
We go to other places. Yeah, we go to other places and meet and see them over there. We go to Redding. We go to Lehigh Valley. Every time we come, we bring food for them. We're really close with them. We're really close with the guys.
I imagine you have a basement filled with memorabilia, a lot of bats, balls, autographs.
We got tons of stuff. Name it from – we're collectors. We're baseball park collectors. Yeah, we just got our stories. There's over 500 bats in there. We go to winter baseball.
Wow.
To the Caribbean World Series. So we know a lot of baseball. We're big into baseball. We know a lot of kids. And when they come here or they go to Double A or Triple A and we go to games, both sides of the teams, they know, a lot of guys know us.
Wow, man.
So being a big baseball fan, do you have any thoughts on the Phillies Big League Club right now?
The Phillies, something? I'm not a Philly fan, I'll be honest. I do go to a lot of Philly games. They need to do something. It's not that they have in the minor leagues, they have a lot of good talent. My thought is they should use it. Instead of getting rid of it and trading them for older players or other players, they should use the minor league. They got a lot of good talent in the minor league that they never bring up, or they just trade. They use them for trade. That's the only problem I have with the Phillies that bothers me. They're a lot of talent. And then the other team, they get them, bring them up. They don't bring them up, but the other team bring them up and use them, and they do good in the other teams. I don't see why wouldn't they use their farm system the way they should be using them. They should use their farm system a little more.
I couldn't agree more.
The farm system.
More. I think
I go everywhere.
Awesome, man. Yeah, I think it's the product of our general manager, Ruben Tamara Jr. He's just been, his philosophy has been all build, because he thought his chances of winning were there. I agree. I think you got to build this thing through the farm system, and I really hope that we get you a good team, because tomorrow's team is based on what happens in Redding and Lakewood and places like that.
I think the best team right now is Redding. Redding has a team that should be in a major league. The Redding team, the way that team is built, I think it's even better than Major League team right now. Redding's got a powerful team. If they could get a couple of teams from AAA up, that'd be great.
I'm personally amazed how they're scoring runs when only Martinez and Roman Quinn are the only two players producing, but they still somehow eke out enough runs to win with that awesome pitching staff.
They got pitching. They got pitching everywhere. That team's got pitching. Their bats are a little cold at the Triple A. You got Franco. Franco was another one who stayed with him. Mikel Franco, he was another one of our boys here. And he just got to be polished. The kid can hit. The kid is good. Great with the fans. Everybody loved him. Everywhere he played, everybody loved the kid. You know, he's going to be something. He's going to be something.
Yeah,
they bring him up. Everywhere he played, he had done good. Out of all the players?
Yeah, out of all the players, who do you think has the highest ceiling when they get to the big league club? Do you like Roman Quinn? Do you like Aaron Nola? Do you like Franco once he stays there consistently?
Out of all the players coming up right now, you know, I like Aaron Nola. Nola's going to be – he's going to be special for the Phillies. I like Franco. I'm telling you, if Franco stay up and they, you know, they give him a chance, Franco could help the team. Franco could really help the team. I like here in Lakewood. I'm telling you, you got Carlos Torres. He's going to be something special. The kid's very good, very fast, great with a glove. He's very focused. The kid's very focused this year. You know something? He's 19 years old, and he came this year. It's a different kid. The kid came to my house different this year. I'm like, wow. I'm like, last year you were a good kid. You were fun and everything. You went out and stuff. I know kids don't go out. They stay home. They watch the Sports Center. They eat. They hit the bed. They get up in the morning and go do it again every day and night. All day and night. He's very focused. And then Roman Quinn, he's very special, that kid, too. He's another one who was great here in Lakewood. They're
awesome,
far system, I'm telling you. I think they got one of the best far systems out there. People don't see it. These kids are good. And they're very good to people. They're very nice with the fans. The fans love them. Here, they love everybody. I go to AA, AAA game. Actually, this week we're going to Reading to see the guys. What was that?
I'm going to get in touch with you and see if they're going to Reading. Maybe we can meet up for something. I don't know.
Yeah.
Like I said, I'm training for a new job, but I'm definitely trying to get up to Reading.
All right, yeah, let me know. Sounds good. Sounds great, man. I'm telling you, anything you need, let me know. One of these days, too bad you guys were late. I go, when I have the kids here, I can put the kids in for you so you guys can talk to the kids if you guys want. They're a really nice kid. They do interviews in our house by phone. They do interviews all the time in my house. Toshi did a MILB interview a couple of weeks ago here last week in our house. You know, and he was there with a guy for over half an hour. And the guy even hit us up, shouted out, you know, thank us for it. I go, don't thank us. That's them.
That's awesome. That is absolutely awesome. No, oh, man, this
is
a great call. I hope you're going to stay with the podcast. We're going to look for information from the minors from the Phillies all year, hopefully. And the one last thing I wanted to ask you about was when Freddie Galvis was down there in single A, did he happen to stay with you guys?
Which one?
Freddie Galvis.
How do you know? Yes. Freddie Galvis, yes, he was always with us. Freddie Galvis was the kind of kid that he never went out. He would only go out. My uncle, Delphin, has a red Toyota Celica. It was brand new. The car was brand new. He would never go out with nobody if it wasn't in that car. He would go up and down in the Toyota Celica with my uncle and nobody else. And then I would have Jesus Sanchez and some of the other guys that were down here. Sebastian Ferry would come in my truck with us, me and my wife, and he would always go with my uncle in a brand new Toyota Celica. He still talks to us. He still calls us all the time. He leaves us tickets everywhere. If he's in the minors, hey, God, you guys want to come in the game? In the majors, he always leaves his tickets. Great kid. Freddie Galvis is awesome, awesome people. He's very loved by everybody. All the guys that come here idolize the kid. That's how cool this kid is. He's always giving stuff out to the kids here, helping the minor leaguers, always keeping in touch with them.
Okay.
Yeah, Freddie Galvis is an awesome guy. We should take a bowling.
I want to ask you real quick. Did you guys see his offensive game? Because in Philadelphia, he had no offensive game prior to this year. This year, he's tearing the ball, cover off the ball.
Yes, he is. Yeah, a couple weeks ago we were talking about that. The guys here were talking about it. How Freddie Galvez is like on fire this year, and they're happy that he's up and he's healthy. You know, he's another one. He's another good two. He's a two. He's a good two for a team. He could help any team. You know, he could play the infield, and he could play actually any spot in the outfield. The kid, and he's very fast. Great glove. He shows a little power once in a while here and there.
Exciting start to the season. I mean, he's definitely playing well. I don't know if he could fill in Jimmy Rollins' shoes, but he's definitely playing well.
I'll be honest. I don't think he can fill Jimmy Rollins' shoes, but he could sure enough do a little damage. He could do damage. He could do damage. He could help a team out.
Yeah,
J.P. Crawford. J.P. Crawford. Wait till you guys see J.P. Crawford majors.
Yeah, I'm
that's
looking forward
kid.
To that.
J.P. Crawford, he's outstanding. That kid is great. He's another good kid. Great kid. Here in Lakewood, guys, great guy, great ball player. The guy gave it all. Every play, the guy gave everything, everything. He was always up to the play, always, you know, he's a team guy. He plays for the team. He was another great kid here, J.P. Crawford.
Awesome.
That's enough.
All right, man. Well, we're on again next Monday night. I hope we can talk to you then. And I'll take you up on Twitter. Maybe I'll catch you with the Reading game.
All right, buddy. Sounds good. Have a good time, guys. Thank you for the time.
Appreciate the call. Thanks again.
You're welcome.
Absolutely.
Bye-bye, guys.
Anytime. Thanks again.
Thank you.
Bye.
Wow, that was a great call.
Great call. Great call.
Phenomenal call. I didn't,
really
I,
appreciate it.
I hated him up because I'm into the Phillies minor league team, and him and his wife are friends with a lot of them. And I just saw that I was like, oh, we got someone who follows the minor league team. If you call up, I didn't.
Yeah, not
never,
great stories.
I never dreamed of
players staying with them. That's awesome. It's really awesome.
All right, we got another call. My best friend Eric is on the line. Yo, E, what's up?
What's going on, guys? What's
hey,
up,
how
guys?
Are you?
I'm good. How you doing?
Yo, man. Sorry about your loss, first off. So, sorry about your
loss,
no worries. First off. Mentioned that at the top of the show.
Yeah. Thank you. I appreciate it. I just
sorry to hear that.
Thank you. I just heard most of that conversation you just had, but I didn't know who that was. And somebody who follows the minor leagues pretty well.
Some guy who him and his wife had a minor league player stay with them in Lakewood.
Okay.
I met him on Twitter. I met him and his wife, and it was a random thing. I just wanted someone on the podcast who could tell us a little something about the Lakewood team, and it turns out this guy's got the kids staying over, like, constantly. He told us stories about Galvis. He told us
Franco stayed with them.
Other
guys. It's really cool, really, really interesting. He likes a lot of the prospects, too. He thinks there's a bright future coming, so I'm happy to hear that.
Nice, nice. That's cool. Yeah, it sounded pretty interesting, although Garrett had to throw his Jimmy Rollins reference in. I heard that.
Listen, I just said Galvis might not be able to fill Jimmy Rollins' shoes, but Freddie Galvis is playing out of his mind right now. If he keeps playing like this, then, listen, all the power to him. I hope he does continue.
Yeah, I hear you. Trust me, I do respect Jimmy Rollins, one of the better Phillies of all time. There's no question about that. But currently, Freddie Galvis is killing Jimmy Rollins, just if you look at this year. I mean, obviously, he's got a lot more to prove. There's no doubt about that. But I actually think the Phillies did make a pretty good move when they traded Rollins. So it was just time. You know, that's all.
Based on the first 15 or so games this season, yeah, he's having a better start. But I'm talking about just career length, and, you know, we'll see if he equals what Jimmy did. I don't know.
Sure, there's no question that, you know, Freddie Galvis has a lot more to prove, especially offensively. Now, defensively, I think they compare. Freddie Galvis is incredible on defense, but, you know, he's got a ton to prove offensively and leadership and all the stuff that Jimmy Rollins provided. Like, he did provide an awful lot. I don't want to act like I don't respect Jimmy Rollins, and he is really one of the all-time great Phillies. There's no question. But, you know, I think the Phillies made the right move in what they did there.
Well, Galvis could also play third, right? And he could play second because when Crawford comes up, we're gonna he might move over to second. Probably.
He could possibly play center as well.
Yeah, so he's versatile. That's important.
Yeah, that definitely helps his cause. So that's good. But what else is going on?
Yeah, Eric, you're one of the biggest Spurs fans I know. Gary made a quote that I took some umbrage with, and I wonder what you think about it. Kawhi Leonard is like a mini LeBron James.
Now, I love me some Kawhi Leonard, and I would love him to be in the Sixers uniform. I don't think he's quite mini LeBron James at all. I don't think he's on that level just yet. You know,
no,
I think he's going.
That's why I said mini.
I don't even think it's fair to put him in the same sentence as LeBron James. I don't. You know, and I'm shocked that you would say that, considering how much you love LeBron James. I didn't think anybody could be in the same sentence as LeBron James, including Michael Jordan. So I'm shocked to hear you say that. But
I think it was taken the wrong way. I didn't mean he's as good as LeBron or he's going to be as good as LeBron. I meant he does a little bit of everything. You know, he could rebound, he could shoot, he could drive, he could play defense, he could pass. He's a great swing player. He's a type of player you could build a franchise around. I meant just his style of play is it's reminiscent a little bit of LeBron. Obviously, he's not on the same level as LeBron. LeBron's the greatest of all time and a physical freak. But I just meant
how quickly you forget the real number 23. But, okay.
Yeah, but I just meant Kawhi Leonard right now is definitely a top 10 player in the NBA probably, and you could even argue higher on some circles.
I'd have to think about that. I mean, Kawhi Leonard is a rising star, and I think he could have numbers if he wasn't on the team he's on, because they're not about numbers. Yeah.
Yo, would you give Kawhi Leonard max deal?
Say that again. I could barely hear you.
Kawhi Leonard a max deal, though.
Absolutely, 100%. I would. Absolutely. Right, he is worth a max deal. The man can, like Garrett said, the man does a little bit of everything. So I think I've mentioned this to you before. I would love the Sixers to get Kawhi Leonard. I'm 100% on.
Wouldn't he be perfect? Hey, wouldn't he be the perfect franchise player to build his team around?
I think the way the Sixers have started with Noel and having Noel and Embiid. And then you draft a point guard this year, I think Kawhi Leonard would be absolutely perfect because he could teach that Spurs mentality. Brent Brown comes from the Spurs. Like, it really does fit on this team. It really does. Like, I'd have to agree with that. I think it's Kawhi Leonard's the perfect fit.
I don't think the Spurs are going to let him go. It's just, you know, something that you hope.
I don't think the Spurs will let him go, but the Spurs, you know, the Spurs normally get to keep their players because they give them a little hometown discount. Maybe Kawhi Leonard will be like, hey, I want my money too. You know, I've already won a title. I want to build my own star, and maybe he'll take a max deal. You know, so we'll see.
I agree with you, but I think that also a reason the Spurs could do that is because they had Duncan, Ginobili, Parker all in their prime. Now Duncan's older, Ginobili's older, Parker's aging. I think that they're starting to realize that they're going to have that guy to carry them for the next 10 years. So now that they have him in Kawhi Leonard, I don't know if they could be as, I can't think of the word, but like, you know, like
frugal,
as strict to their
frugal
standards.
Frugal? Is that the word?
Yeah, where now they're like, because before they always had Duncan, Ginobili, Parker. They always had that core. Once that core goes, you need somebody to carry your franchise.
That's true. That is true. We'll see. I mean, some franchises just have a mantra that they're going to build a certain way, and they might not deviate. Hopefully. I mean, hopefully for the Sixers' benefit. That's, you know, I do, because I know Kawhi's free agency is coming up soon. So I would love for him to end up in a Sixers uniform.
I'm with you there.
Eric, who do you got Lob City or the Spurs?
You know me, I got the Spurs. I mean,
it's
I'm impressed. I will say this,
so far, other than the Nets Hawks.
I will admit I am impressed that the Clippers came back and won that one game four after getting blown out in game three. I'm quite impressed, and they're a much better team than they have been. You know, they're putting the effort. You know, they're trying to play some defense and not just lob city it. But ultimately, I don't think they can consistently do it enough to beat the Spurs two more times in the next three games. I don't see it. Maybe I'm going to be wrong, but I think the Spurs will pull it out. Even if it goes to seven, I think the Spurs will pull it out.
Well, game five in L.A., right? Is that a must-win for the Spurs?
I don't think so. No, I don't think so. I think the Spurs will win the game. Don't get me wrong, but I don't think it's a must-win for them because they're capable of playing the same way every game no matter what. And the Clippers have not proven enough for me to say that they're going to be able to win two out of three against the Spurs. I just don't see it.
I agree with you. I think the Spurs should win the series. I think it's probably going to go to seven. But let me put it to you this way then. Since you said it's not a must-win for the Spurs, if the Clippers were to go on to win the series, is this a must-win for the Clippers then?
Yes. I would say the only chance the Clippers have to win in this series is winning this game because, you know, I just don't – honestly, I don't see them winning game six either way. The only way I see the Clippers winning is in seven at home. Now, that being said, I don't think they're going to win in seven at home no matter what. I personally think it's going to go six. I think the Spurs will win the next game, and I think they'll put them away in game six. That's what I personally think is going to happen. But the only way the Clippers have a chance is if it goes seven, because I don't see them winning game six. I don't.
Yeah, they got to stay away from that stupid Hackett Jordan thing. All right, Eric, so on to the NFL draft, from which – you will probably be updating me as I will be at a Glenn Miller concert with my. Do you do
yes.
the deal for Mariota?
Real,
I heard
real fast,
the latest.
I just want to ask you one more quick.
Mm-hmm.
Let me just ask you one more quick NBA question, real fast. Do you think Love's injury is going to give Chicago the opening to beat them?
I think it gives. I don't know if it necessarily makes Chicago the favorite against Cleveland. But I tell you what, the door is wide open. I think Cleveland is beatable. They're not. Not that I thought Cleveland was unbeatable before then, because I think Cleveland is beatable, and I don't think they're going to win the title this year. And I didn't think they were going to win the title this year, even with Love. But now they're quite vulnerable. They are. But I still give them a good chance. Like I'd say, if you want to know the truth, I'd probably say 52% Bulls, 48% Cleveland as of right now. So that's how close
Chicago
I think
is
it is. I think they're the favorite. I do think they're the favorite, but I think it's like real close. They're not like an over the top. It's almost a pickle. Like 52-48, 51-49. It's almost a pickle, you know.
D-Rose is playing out of his mind.
Yeah, I think that's the series to look forward to in the second round, right? Chicago-Cleveland.
Yeah, I mean, that looks like it's going to be the Eastern Conference. Whoever wins that series is going to win the Eastern Conference. Like, because Atlanta has been a disappointment again in the playoffs, even though they're up 2-1. Every game's been close with the Nets, and they should be blowing the Nets out. So that doesn't
yeah,
give me
Nets
much hope with
them. Nets have a chance to even the series up at home, and then 2-2, you never know what could happen. So.
Exactly. And bottom line is, even if Atlanta wins that series, they haven't looked impressive doing it at all. You know, and then they'll move on to Washington, who I think Toronto is clearly just a joke. They're like, I can't believe how bad they played. Now I don't know if that's, you know, maybe Washington's clicking on all cylinders. And I mean, if Washington is clicking on all cylinders, they could very well beat Atlanta, you know. But I don't see Washington or Atlanta beating Cleveland or Chicago. So,
I'd say
the winner of that series is going to the finals.
Yeah, I'm 100% with you. It's either Chicago or Cleveland coming out of the East. I would like to see Cleveland because LeBron's the man, but.
Yeah, I don't know. Like I said, I didn't think Cleveland was going to win it from the get-go this year. I thought they would probably, you know, going into the playoffs, I felt they were going to make it to the finals and lose to the Western Conference team. And now their situation is cloudy because Derrick Rose is playing well, too. So it was going to be difficult regardless, you know. But now without Love, that's going to be rough. Like I said, it makes it real close, real, real close with, I guess, yeah, I lean a little bit towards Chicago, but it's relatively a pickle. Okay. So on to the NFL draft, right? What were you about to ask about that?
Sorry about that, guys. We got disconnected from Blog Talk Radio. Unfortunately, we got those three callers on. Eric, if you're listening, please call back.
Yeah, call back. We want to hear what you have to say about Mariota and the rest of the draft. Actually, I think there he is.
There he is. Perfect. What's up, man?
What's up?
Sorry about that.
Yeah,
that's all right. It happens. So what are we up to now? NFL
draft? So before we finish up with the NBA, we're talking about you said
okay.
You want them to get Mariota.
What was the latest rumor you heard?
So you guys both think you want them to get Mariota?
Well, I'm kind of against it at the price. I want to see what the price is. I wouldn't hate it if it's a reasonable price, but if it's going to cost too much, then I'm against it. Because I think Bryce Petty is just as good a prospect, or almost as good a prospect.
Yeah, I personally think, and I know Matt disagrees with this, that I think the price is too high from every trade I'm hearing. That it's just too high. Like I heard one today that has I think it's Cox in the 20th to the Browns for number 12. Then it goes Kendrick in the 12 for number 2, which that's actually not ultra horrible. Doesn't have you trading Sam Bradford. You still have Bradford on the roster, and then you have like a shit ton of quarterbacks. So, and that was reported on 97.5.
Probably going to have to give Bradford to the Browns, right, to get one of their picks because they want Bradford, apparently.
That's what I thought, but apparently, according to this 97.5 trade rumor, it Bradford's not involved in that deal. It's Cox in the 20.
So you have a shot then to trade Bradford and possibly get a first back.
The only
team I've heard interested is Cleveland.
Yeah,
now, I mean, if they did, honestly, if they did Cox and the 20th and then Kendrick and the 12th, basically you're trading Cox and Kendrick for Mariota and you can recompensate your first-round pick by trading Bradford, I'm okay with that. That's not a horrible trade.
Yeah,
you know?
I think it's going to cost a lot more than that. I don't think that's going to get it done.
That's what I think, too. And I think ultimately, I think it's going to cost too much for it to be productive. I really do, because I'm not – I mean, Mariota might be the guy, and in this system, he might be the super guy. He might be the guy to get us to the Super Bowl. I don't know. But I think it's way too much to gamble, for a team that I feel just has way too many other holes for me to say that the quarterback's the missing link, because I think they got too many other holes as well. So.
All right, well, I'm glad you said that, because that – I want to ask you this question because this is something me and Matt were debating. We had a call earlier with my friend Vince.
Mm-hmm.
It's probably supposed to get a 20 if they don't make a move for Mariota. And I said, I'm not going
to
say our list. I'm just going to say, I said that if somebody were to fall, like a top 10 talent would have fallen to 20, even if it wasn't a position of need, I would rather take that guy. Matt said in this case.
Hold on. Matt talks for himself. Matt said that normally I'm there. However, the Eagles don't have money to get any players other than the draft picks. You have too many holes that you have to pick with the top with your top three picks, I think you have to plug in holes.
Okay.
So
I think they need to plug their holes.
Or position of need.
I think they'd have to plug their holes too, but you'd have to tell me who the player was that dropped. Like,
right.
Okay,
my player dropping was Randy Gregory. I think he's maybe the best pass rushing linebacker in this draft. And if he were to fall, I think you take the chance on him.
And I could see that because you could justify that by trading a Kendricks, which they're talking about doing anyway, you know, or somebody like that and creating a spot for him and getting
Gregory
another draft pick.
Kendricks plays the inside,
but in a 3-4, would he be an outside linebacker type pass rusher?
Gregory,
that
yeah,
position,
like the Barwin
position.
Not Clay Matthews. Clay Matthews can play inside.
Matthews played inside last year, but until that point, Clay Matthews
Alden
was playing outside.
Smith.
Fine. Give me Alden Smith. Give me a guy who's going to get 18, 19 sacks a year
right,
and completely disrupt the pass game. We were just saying, because, and this is to do with last year, because they took Marcus Smith, who was a position of need, and there might have been more talented players on the board. You feel that this year you got to fill the positions of need over the talent?
I think it's different.
I think it's got to be both. I know this is kind of a cop out answer, but I think it's got to be both because, like you said, they drafted Marcus Smith, a position they needed, and he was so bad he couldn't get on the field. So I mean, yes, they need to fill positions, certain positions for sure, but you know they can't overreach and take some stretch. Who's not even going to get on the field. They need somebody who's going to get on the field right away, at least the first round for sure.
Right, so let me say this. So wide receiver is a position of need, another corner, maybe a safety, an offensive guard. So if you have a player with the same grade as a guy not in a position of need, then I agree with you, you take the position of need because they're graded similar. But if you have a guy who
right.
you have graded higher, I feel like you take him.
Gregory. Rated higher than most of the players we're going to have on our list.
I do.
And the reason you're the only one. You also don't take into account the off the field issue, which you really should with guys like Josh Gordon and Justin Blackman getting.
But that's why he's falling. He didn't have the failed drug test. He wouldn't have fallen.
Right. And I'm not adverse to taking him. But if you're taking him and he's not a position of need, it's just the wrong situation and the wrong year to do it. Normally, I'm all for it. I just think this year is the wrong year.
I just say if you pass on the elite player who might fall you, you just can't. It can't be for a reach. Like it can't just be. Like let's say that. In some crazy scenario that the Eagles decide they're going to draft a wide receiver in the first round, but there was a huge run on them. Like they got everyone that they needed, you know, like that they wanted, you know, that I can't see just taking the next wide receiver, you know, who could be a bust and not get on the field again when you could be getting the A-plus talent and then figure out that need a little down the road, maybe with somebody who's maybe not as good, but he's like of later round value and could still play a little bit. Like they did that with Marcus Smith and they could have got him later and it blew up in their face. You know, so
I think there's tiers of players you have in each round and I think I personally don't think I've seen a lot of the mock drafts. I don't put any stock in ESPN guys. I think Tom McShay is the biggest idiot in professional football. I think Mel Kiper was Tom McShay before Tom McShay. So now he actually knows some GMs, so he knows a few things. But I don't put a lot of stock in them. I always follow Walter. He usually gets about 80% of his picks right. So, I mean, that's what I usually follow. And going by him, he's saying 4 to 5 guys before the Eagles. 3 to 5 guys before the Eagles. I think that there's a top tier of wide receiver of about
All right, so hey, let me ask you this. Thursday night, end of round one. What do you want to see? Who do you want to see in an Eagles uniform?
Honestly, and Matt's gonna like this. I'd like to see the safety from Arizona State. I think that's the big position for me. I think he's value there, and it makes sense.
All right, hold on. But would you trade back in that scenario? I love Randall. I like him a lot. I just think he'll be there in round two.
You think he'll be there in round two, huh? Because I've heard his draft stock is soaring up. Like he might. I've heard he might be getting ahead of the Alabama safety. Like that's how much I've heard his draft stock is soaring. So
that much. He's initially a third round pick.
I know initially, but sometimes that happens. But I've really heard he's going to skyrocket. But that being said, I mean, we know he's going to be there early second round. Maybe I would trade back with a team and get some more picks. I could do that.
I'm all about trading back too. If there's not value at the pick, but if you really do love a player, and even if he's projected to go in the second round, you know how the NFL draft works. Nothing's guaranteed. So if you have your heart set on a guy and he's there, I'm about taking him. If you have a group of guys that you could take, then I'm for trading back. I don't know if you agree with that concept, but
as much as teams like Randall, there's no way a team's going to pick Randall with Collins on the board. Collins is more in the box safety, and that's going to be a criticism on him. But he's just got more talent than Randall. He just does. And he's going to – and he's a guy who he's a lot like is Brian Dawkins, only he doesn't cover quite as well.
I hear you. Like I said, that's – obviously, I think the Eagles need the next Brian Dawkins. I don't think they're ever – I should caveat that with – I don't think there ever will be the next Brian Dawkins. Brian Dawkins is Brian Dawkins. But I think that
– Are you okay taking a receiver in the first round, like a Perriman, a DGB, an Aguilar – somebody like that?
I would be okay with it because the wide receiver is definitely a position to need, but they better be in love with that receiver. Like, you know, because I still think the defensive secondary has weaknesses and that is your big hole because just the way they run their offense, the defense is going to be on the field a lot. It's just the way – it's just the system. So their time of possession is not a factor to Chip Kelly. At least for his offense.
Well,
so the defense is going to be on the field a lot, and they need an on defense.
Yeah, I disagree with that for that reason. I think you need guys who are going to be in great condition, but I think that your defense can lack a little bit because you're going to score so much. I think you can't have another Bradley Fletcher, but you can have a guy who's a middle-of-the-road talent at there. I do think you need a top-tier receiver. I do think you might be able to get him in the second round. I want a receiver in the first round. I wouldn't be shocked around. And like I said, I'm happy if they don't make a pick Thursday. I get to see both the picks Friday. How I feel.
Yeah.
Also,
yeah, it will.
In the secondary, so, sorry, go on, A. All right, hey, so you were talking about secondary help. So what do you feel? We were talking earlier about somebody like Randy Gregory potentially falling based on the failed drug test. So from what I've seen, Marcus Peters might be the most talented corner in the draft, but he has all the off-field issues too. Would you be comfortable taking him at 20?
I would like taking him. I don't think Chip Kelly would because Chip Kelly's trying to build, you know, the winning culture and get rid of all players like that, you know, per se, who might not, you know, mold into the system and all that jazz. So, I mean, I think the dude can play and he might be good. I personally don't know if Chip Kelly, you know, would feel that way just based on how he's acted about, you know, saying about how he wants to build the proper culture and, you know, players who, you know, about football and listen as opposed to, you know, maybe having being a little more independent and being rough around the edges. So, But no, I wouldn't mind him either if the Eagles, like, you know, if Chip Kelly was just lying and, you know, that's the guy he picked. I wouldn't mind him either. I wouldn't.
Sorry. Where do you draw the line as far as off the field issues, what you can accept in your locker room based on talent and what you can't?
See, that's such a tough, it's such a tough question because truthfully, I do believe in second chances and everybody deserves a second chance. You know, so obviously some crimes are extremely more egregious than others. I think it depends person to person. Like some people really do make an extreme mistake and they learn from it and they, you know, they better themselves and, you know, they earn the second chance they're given. I'd say in this country, almost everybody, especially professional athlete wise, gets a second chance because they make so much money. It's, and the world revolves around money. So they get a second chance. And honestly, I would say most athletes don't earn the second chance that they're given. Like they fuck it up. But some people, pardon my language there, by the way. I'd have to base it on a case-by-case basis. And only people who can do that are the people who evaluate the situation, you know. But if you go in and interview a guy who's had trouble off-field and you feel like he's truly genuine and he knows he's made mistakes and he's looking to move forward with his life, then, yeah, I believe in almost any situation, you know, barring an Aaron Hernandez situation, then, yeah, they deserve a second chance.
So then you're okay with
that? I don't know
I'm okay with the failed drug test. I'll be honest. I'm fine with that. If that's all that's on Gregory's rap sheet or Peter's rap sheet, and I don't know the full stories behind everything, I'm okay with the talent. If it's worse, then I'm with you not taking them. But if it's just a failed drug test, everybody smokes weed in college. Everybody smokes weed outside of college. I'm okay with that.
Yeah, until they become Josh or Ricky Williams where they're getting a year-long suspension.
Yeah, then it becomes a problem. But you bring them into the facility and you strictly put it in the contract, like, if you fail a drug test, your contract is void or something scared their wife out of them.
It doesn't matter. It's still at least a draft pick.
Yeah, but, I mean, I feel like a failed drug test is something that you can get over, and once you bring them in with your team, you can make sure. Maybe not. You can't watch over a guy 24/7, but I feel like you can kind of guide them to the right decisions. If that's all they're doing, if they're doing worse things, then forget about it. But if that's it, I'm okay with it.
Yeah. I just, like I said, I think it's a person-to-person, like, situation. Like, a Josh Gordon, you could tell when he did the stuff, even if it was just weed, you could tell he wasn't remorseful about it, and he just didn't care. Like, a player, somebody like that, I know they're going to do it again, or at least they give me the vibe that they don't care and they're going to do it again. So you kind of got to try to get a feel for the person based off of how they're reacting. And you're not always going to be right because it really is a judgment call. But, you know, that's how I would do it. I'd try to feel the person out. And if they're truly remorseful for what they've done, you know, barring something super egregious, I'd be willing to give them a second chance.
Eric, when's your Night of Champions?
It's Friday, what is it, 9th or 8th? May 9th, whatever that second Friday is in May.
All right, everybody, if you're listening and you want to go to a great event, is that second Friday?
Yeah, it's the second Friday in May.
So May 8th is going to be the Night of Champions for McGee Wheelchair Sports. It's a great event. It's a little pricey. It's still $125?
Yes, $125.
$125, you're going to get dinner. You get a silent auction. The auction is more fun than any auction I've ever been to. It's a great cause. You're going to have the chance to meet some of the Philadelphia coaches. And support a great thing. Eric, of course, volunteers some time as the McGee Sixers basketball coach. And please see either me or Garrett on Twitter or Facebook, and we'll get you in contact with Eric. And hopefully we'll get some tickets sold. I'm telling you guys, I've been there for about 3-4 years. If I can afford it, I'm going to go this year. And it's a really great event. It's a fun event. You can ask me questions when I'm there. Possibly Garrett might show up.
Yeah, I didn't even know about it, but I'm definitely interested now.
Yeah, so maybe you'll get a chance to ask me and Garrett some questions. They usually have some great events, like batting practice. Eric, what's the best thing that you almost bid for? I know we almost bid for the time on 610 WIP with Sonny Hill.
Right. They do, like you were saying, they do some really amazing things, trips, sports packages. There's always some high quality Phillies tickets, Diamond Club, Mayor's Box stuff, on field tours. I know there's been some backstage, behind the scenes Sixers stuff that's given away. There's always there's normally like pretty good Eagles tickets, if not Super Box level. All different kinds of shows. I mean, I know they've given away tickets to our trip type deal to the Daily Show. So I'm actually hoping, honestly, this year, since this is the Daily Show's last year, that they come up with some really nice package for maybe the last episode. That would kind of be pretty cool. But they do all sorts of stuff like that, like golf outings, restaurants, autographed memorabilia. I know one year I personally won a Donovan McNabb autographed item, so... Yeah, they have some pretty, and like you said, Matt, coaches from around the league, around the Philadelphia area are there. Andy Reid's been there in previous years. Brett Brown was there last year. Fran Dunphy goes every year. It's a really nice event, and like you were saying, it all goes towards the McGee rehabilitation sports programs, along with my basketball team. They do quad rugby, power soccer, wheelchair tennis, wheelchair racing, all sorts of sports programs, which is good for any disabled person in the Delaware Valley. You know, it's a really good cause.
Yeah, also, anyone, if there's any disabled people out there who are interested in playing wheelchair basketball, also contact me, Matt Sisko, on Twitter or Facebook, and I'll get you in contact with Eric. You may not start on his team because he's a big league team, but they have a developmental team as well.
Absolutely. It's open to anybody with a disability in the entire Delaware Valley. You know, that's PA, New Jersey, Delaware. Heck, you can come from all over if you're willing to travel. So, you know, then we welcome anybody and everybody. So hope to hear from you out there.
Absolutely. Eric, hope to hear from you. We're going to do this again next Monday, and I'll probably see you later on tonight. I'll call you about that.
All right. Sounds good.
Hold on one second.
Hey, real fast, I just want to ask you one more question. So, is there any player, because I was thinking about this myself, do you have any can't-miss prospects in this year's draft? Is there anybody that you think will be the best player at his position in the NFL within 3-4 years?
Ooh, the best player at his position? Wow. No, honestly, not in 3 or 4 years, no. I think the USC tackle, Williams, I think his name is, I think he's going to be a can't miss. But I don't think he'll be the best at his position. So, no, I don't think there's an absolute, like, going to be the best player in his position in this draft in the next few years, no.
You just think it's a really solid draft overall, though, with a lot of depth that'll help.
Yes, I do. I think there's going to be a lot of NFL talented players, starters, Pro Bowl, all pro level players. But to go as far as to say they're going to be the best at their position, no, I don't think there's one. I think it's like you look at it like a B-plus draft, like where everything is high quality, but, you know, not like super, super the J.J. Watts, you know, the Tom Brady, Peyton Mannings, you know, that sort of thing. That.
Right. I'm with you. I was thought about it, and I kind of came to the same conclusion. There was nobody – I like Leonard Williams. I kind of like Randy Gregory, but nobody stood out as saying can't miss, going to be the best or second best player in their position. So
I agree.
I'm there.
I agree. All right, thanks, E. I'm going to call you later.
Thanks, E. Talk
to you. All right. No problem, guys. Right. See ya.
All right, yeah. So my rant about Darrell Green Beckham. I love the kid. I like the kid personality wise. I think he's been dealt a horrible situation. A lot of people don't realize the kid's got cancer, acute lymphoma, which means it was cured technically, but he's still got to go through chemotherapy, and that kind of stuff in the NFL don't mix.
Is that chemo recurring every year?
Last time he went through it, I think it was 18 years old. Now he thinks
he's in remission.
He's
in remission. He's not going to have to go through it, right?
Right, but this is the kind of cancer that recurs a lot. So I think he's got a shot to be really good this year, but I think he's a short-term prospect. I don't like saying this because cancer is very serious, but a lot of times this kind of cancer can come back. Not only that, he's had issues with marijuana. I personally would excuse a lot of that because you never know how you're going to deal with your cancer. You might not live.
Right. I'm not going to fault the guy for smoking when I hear something like that.
Absolutely.
He might have been in a lot of pain, too. Who knows?
Absolutely. So, I mean, I like the kid. I'm rooting for him. As an NFL team, I'd stay away from him for a little bit. He's got more physical gifts than almost anyone. 6'7", 247 pounds. He runs under a 4.6. I mean, that's insane. That's Randy Moss numbers. It's Randy Moss numbers.
I think Randy Moss ran like a 4.4 or something.
Yeah, but
he's close. He has great measurables. I agree.
But Randy Moss is only 6'4", and he doesn't have the this kid's built like a tight end.
Yeah.
And he runs like a receiver.
Randy Moss jumps out of the roof though. Randy Moss is the one.
So does this guy.
Randy Moss is a once in a generation prospect.
Yeah. This kid's got the physical tools to be insane. He's Plaxico Burress with speed.
They were comparing him to Calvin Johnson
before
the combine.
Yeah, and he's taller.
Yeah.
He's taller than Calvin.
I think he didn't measure as well. I think he didn't measure as well as Calvin did. I think that kind of died down that talk. But he definitely has high expectations.
Right. But he's a guy for me. The medical red flags and the other red flags are just too much. Like I said, I don't fault the kid for smoking weed. Because who knows what I would do in that situation. However, you got to look at it as a whole. I draft him, but I draft him in like the third round. I wouldn't touch him in the first two rounds. And he's going to go in the first round, I think. What do you think, Gary?
Yeah, I mean, before, about a month ago, I think, was the peak of his hype. Before the combine, I've heard tons of things. Calvin Johnson, he's, you know, an elite prospect. He didn't have all the time on the field because of issues. But he's just something amazing. Since then, things have died down. I've heard some negative. I feel like he kind of fell out of the top five prospects as far as the big boards, as far as receiver. I still think he has a lot of talent from what I've seen. He has the good measurables. I think he's a borderline first. I think he's more likely to fall to the second round now. The team can take him late in the first. But I would probably say the safer bet is him falling to the second. As far as his NFL career, you know, if the cancer stays away, he can be successful. I don't know. I'm not a doctor. I really can't touch on when it comes back.
The other thing is, he's only had 1 year.
He's a risk. He's a high reward, high risk. You know, he might be the ultimate boomer bust prospect in the draft.
Right, which to me is great, but I just. My first two rounds have got to be surefire guys who are going to get on the field.
Yeah, but you're probably not going to get a guy with his ceiling in the third round.
Exactly. So that's why I probably don't take it. I'm not touching the first two rounds. No way, no how.
So that goes, I think on a better team, a team that's more developed, that doesn't have as many spots to fill, I think you can take the chance. OP develops. I'm okay taking the boomer bust prospect. Like I said, Randy Gregory is one of my favorites. He's a big-time boomer bust prospect. I feel like you can take the boomer bust just because in the NFL, you just need talent. You need talent. And
yeah, usually talent wins out. I mean, I'm normally with you. But you hit on Randy Gregory, so let's get to our top five. All right, guys, we're assuming that the Eagles are not going to trade up for Mariota. Who are the top five guys we'd like to see the Eagles get at number 20? We're just saying number 20, although one of my picks, I have him trading down and getting a guy. But if he's not there, there's a few other guys who I think will be there in the region. And Eric Hinnell won and Demetrius Randall, and I think he's going to be there in the second round. Why wouldn't my take? Number 5 for me, I got Byron Jones.
Corner from Connecticut. I've heard a lot of links to him.
Combo, corner safety. You can possibly play him at your other safety and or the cornerback. And if you get two guys like that, you can plug one in there and one in there and wherever they fit.
Completely blow up the combine, measured out elite in every single – I think he broke records.
Yeah, the
completely
old – I'm not a big
– I'm not a big combine guy either. I'm just saying he tore it up.
But what I do believe is that the guy's got enough versatility that if he hits, he's the top cornerback in the league. If he misses, he's a good safety who can cover.
So you
think
he's
a very
high floor.
Very safe pick.
High floor, high ceiling. High
floor, low ceiling. I don't think he's going to be an elite corner.
Oh, I thought you just said if he hits, he could be the best corner.
No,
oh.
A very good corner.
Oh, okay.
But, yeah, he's one of my safety
picks.
So
high floor, low ceiling. But,
yeah.
You know, late in the first round, it's not terrible.
Yeah, he's a Gabriel Herrera.
Well, I put, as my 5, and again, my list is based off of what I've seen. I base it off of mocks that I've seen to see what players fall in the range. I don't want to take,
we're not going to take Kevin White or Amari Cooper.
Like Amari Cooper, Leonard Williams, they're not falling to 20, so we didn't even put list.
Absolutely.
I got Jake Fisher. I also got Lael Collins, one of the two. They both
pick one and make one your honorable mention.
Well, in a couple of positions, because I don't know exactly who's going to fall. I have guys who fell.
Well, okay.
All right, I'll put Collins. I like him better from what I've seen of him. I see. So, based on that, I think that right now we're set with tackles with Peters and Johnson, but Peters is aging. Pretty soon Johnson's going to shift over to the left side. We'll need a guy to take the right side. If we can get him in now, develop him, start him at guard.
I'm going to give you a hint just because you hit on one of my guys. I do have Fisher there, and the only reason why is because I think he's the guy who most easily moves inside than even Lael Collins. And I think that's the guy you can use because of his versatility. He's going to be an effective piece of your line for the next 10 years. Not only that, of course, he's got the familiarity with Chip. But he's going to be a guy who I mentioned soon.
I think Collins might have a bigger upside.
Right, but the problem is you might not be able to use him this year. He might not be able to play hard.
I think he can, from what I've heard. Again, I'm not an expert on the offensive line, but from what I've heard, he can. All right, who do you got at 4?
Number 4, I got Marcus Peters. Top 10 talent. I'm going to take the chance. Spin the wheel, make a deal. I think you take the talent there. I think he's got a shot to be a top-tier cornerback, and those things don't grow on trees. If you have a chance to take a guy who could potentially be a Revis-type shutdown corner, you take him. And if he fails, you know what? Realize the risk of you. So I don't mind doing that at number 20, the lower half of the first round. I think number 4, easily, Marcus Peters is a very good option.
I actually have Peters, too.
Number 4?
Yeah, for the same reason
you said.
Projected to potentially be the best corner in the draft. I know I said before that I feel like corners can be had later on. I also have Landon Collins there because he's the best safety, again, because this is all crapshoot. I don't know who's exactly going to fall there.
You're cheating. You put 2 picks in.
Yeah, but my next one, I only have 1 pick, and my first one, I only have 1 pick.
Well, you better.
So, anyway, right. I think Peters is a great choice. If he falls to 20, and I think Collins would be a great choice too. So just anything to help the secondary right there. They both have pretty good ceilings, pretty high floors. Peter's floor might be a little lower based on the off the field issues if that comes back to haunt him. But I feel like if he could stay on the field, he has a pretty good floor.
All right, for my numbers 3 and 2, I have trade down. So I think these guys are going to be available in the beginning of the second round. The number 3 guy is going to be Jake Fisher. Now remember, If he's not there, I've still got number 2 guy who I think also might be there in the beginning of the second round. I think you're going to get one of these 2 guys. The reason why you trade down, and I don't do it for anything less than the second and the third, you want to get picks inside the top 100 picks. Top 100 players are usually guys who are going to contribute, and I think the Eagles could use more of them. I don't mind at all trading down out of the first round completely and getting a guy at the top of the second and keeping your own second round pick.
Yeah, I agree with you 100%. I think I mentioned it when we were on the call with A I said that if it's your pick and you have a player who is just far above, higher than everybody else on your board, you take him.
Take him.
Or if you're just absolutely in love with the guy, you take him. But if you have a group of guys clumped together and you can trade down, get extra value, potentially get two of them, if the draft falls that way, I'm all about trading down.
Now, here's the thing. I have trade down, but I have a number one guy. So if the number one guy is there, I don't trade down. But if he's not, then I trade down. All right, so my number three guy is going to be Jake Fisher. Remember, that's a trade down scenario.
Three, I think probably the fourth best receiver available, Rashard Perriman, assuming that the other top three, Cooper White and Devontae Parker's gone. DGB is interesting. You touched on a lot of good points about him. I think he's more of a guy taking the second round. So based on the Eagles' position of need, Perriman, how he's been grading out lately, wouldn't be a terrible choice to bring in and potentially pair up with Matthews and an Ertz and have it.
All right, my number two option is going to be Nelson Aguilar. Again, that's a trade-down scenario. I think he's a guy who everyone's talking about. Oh, he's going to be a first-round pick. He falls to the beginning of the second round. You get him at the end of the first, beginning of the second. Whoever's willing to give you a three, you do it as long as you can move to the top of the second. And I would go with Aguilar or Jake Fisher. I'm happy with either one.
And number two, and this is based off of the mock. I don't know if people seen the mock that Todd McShay and Mel Kiper did.
Oh, God.
But they actually had Vic Beasley out of the first round. I think if he falls to 20, he's a definite. Same thing, a lot of people talking about Shane Ray.
Randy Gregory undrafted in the first round.
Talking about Shane Ray falling really far based on his potential foot surgery.
He's not
going to
start the season.
Right, but I think that's a situation where, if it's like a top 10 talent on your board,
you don't touch Shane Ray because he's not a position of need. He's not going to start the season. Oh,
I'm going based on the talent. And then Buster Priest the same way. But anyway, those three guys, I don't know if any of them are
going
to be there.
Buster Priest going 8.
You think he's going higher?
He's going to the Falcons.
I've seen him at 8. I've seen him in the second round. And again, it's a crapshoot, but I think Beasley and Shane Ray are both interesting prospects. I hear what you're saying, not the position of need. I just think that if they're that much rated higher on your board, you take the chance on
you
them.
Normally do, Garrett, but now with
a
team that's going to the playoffs.
All right, go ahead. Who's your number one?
Number one is Rashard Perriman. I don't think he'll be there. If he's there, you pick him and you do not look back. This kid's going to be a game breaker. He's got bloodlines. He's got absolutely everything you need. He runs a 4.27. They went back and they saw the film. His film's incredible. Guy's got a shot to be the best receiver in this draft.
That's pretty high praise there because I really like Cooper White.
I like White better than Cooper.
Yeah, I like Cooper better. Cooper's my favorite out of
Cooper's got the highest floor. White's got the highest ceiling.
You just said Perriman's
got the
highest ceiling.
The second highest ceiling. I don't think he's going to be a very good receiver. He's not a deep threat, and he's not going to be red zone.
He ran a 4.3 something at his pro day. He could run. He could take the top off defense.
He can, but the only way he scores is 20 yards or more out. And Deshaun, he's not a red zone guy. He's not going to be a red zone guy. He's not going to be effective in the red zone. I just don't.
You're not a big fan.
No.
I understand.
I like him a lot. And as a matter of fact, I have a dynasty league. I have the number three pick. It's between him and Kevin White right now. But I just think he's got.
Knock Gurley or Gordon if you're
going 1-2. I go 1-2. I think he's got the higher floor. I think Kevin White's got the higher ceiling. I think Perryman's ceiling is just below White. You have a choice between Perriman and White. You take White. So White's got a better chance to get there. Perriman, the reason why he's a little more of a risk than White, he hasn't played up to the same competition as White. And he hasn't produced like White. He didn't have a 1,200-yard season. Anyway, go on, Eric.
All right, and then my number one, we've been kind of touching on and off. I've been saying I like
it. Randy
Gregory, yeah.
You already had him at 2.
No, I didn't have him at 2.
Five guys you need at 2.
I don't know. I named Beasley and Ray based on mocks I saw.
Who's your number one?
It's Randy Gregory. I think he has a chance to be an elite pass rusher.
First off, Vic Beasley versus Randy Gregory. I think you Vic Beasley 10 times out of 12. Or
yeah.
10 times out of 9, I'm sorry.
Well, that's why you have your list, and I have my list. And I think Randy Gregory is a huge ceiling.
You think that Vic Beasley's going to fall?
I don't know where he's going to fall. I'm saying all
he's
I saw was
four picks.
All right, he might go number one overall. mock I just watched with Todd McShay and Mel Kiper. They had him out in the first round.
By the way.
All right.
They
so
made
listen,
a movie out about
so if he goes top
summer.
Five, then he's not going to beat her at 20. And like I said, this is based off of that one mock I've seen. You know, and Shane Ray, I've been hearing a lot of rumors of Shane Ray falling.
Shane Ray might fall because of the injury.
Because of the injury.
Again,
but yeah,
I don't mind.
If he goes top five, then he's off the list. It doesn't matter.
Beasley's going top five. Beasley's also a better player than Gregory. I'll make a dollar bet with you right now.
Okay.
Rookie year. Beasley's going to have a better year than Gregory.
Yeah.
You heard it here, folks, on the podcast. We only do it for $1 because we keep it cheap. Actually, no, that's not a real dollar. It's
okay.
A massive for entertainment purposes only.
All right. They got it. But anyway, I think Randy Gregory is the guy I'm taking. If he falls, you know, if you do your background check on him, you talk to him, and you find out that he's not a terrible guy, I'm taking him. Now, if you do the background check and he doesn't check out, then I pass on him, too. But if he checks out on your background check at 20, I'm taking him. It might not be the absolute player position of need. Rashard Perriman, again, might be more of a position of need. I think Gregory has a huge upside. I think Perriman has a good upside. And again, we don't know who's falling. I mean, you know how the draft works. A guy's supposed to fall to the second round, he gets drafted 10th. A guy's supposed to be drafted 10th, he gets taken 26th. You know how it works every year. There's trades, there's surprise picks. So it's all relative. It's basically fantasy football right now until it actually happens. I'm assuming the city of Philadelphia wants Mariota Friday morning. I'm assuming that's what they want. And I think the city of Philadelphia needs to be warned that it really depends on the price. I think it might sound good on paper. You got a rookie quarterback, him and Chip played together in college, all that stuff. But just don't overlook potentially what the price could be down the road.
I think it's less than 3 firsts to do it. Anyway.
What if it's like 2 firsts, Kendricks, Cox, a second?
I don't do a second this year. In the second 3 years from now, I'll do it. New York Trader's second next year.
But you got to also account that into the factor, because if you end up using Bradford to get a first from Cleveland, then you have to account the second Foles and the fourth that you gave to get Bradford to get the pick from Cleveland.
No, I don't account that. That's already gone. I'm telling you, if you can get him for under 3 firsts, I include Cox, I include Kendricks, I'll include anyone you want to go there. All right, Garrett, so what are you doing this weekend?
I don't really have plans this weekend. No. Well, it's actually Saturday at the Mayweather fight. I'll be watching that.
Oh, wait, hold on.
And it's the Kentucky Derby.
Saturday. So the day starts with
the Kentucky Derby.
No, let me talk.
Go ahead.
Day starts with the NFL draft. The fourth to the
third
seventh
day,
draft.
Third day.
Yeah. So you get that in the beginning of the day, then you get the Kentucky Derby. Then you've got the NBA draft lottery.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Then you've got the Mayweather fight.
Wow, so Saturdays might be the most action-packed day in
especially Philadelphia.
Quite some time.
Especially in Philadelphia. We're definitely going to have to talk about that
the draft
lottery.
Yeah.
Because we're going to have to see how many picks the Sixers get. So what are you doing Saturday? Where are you going to spend it?
I don't know. I might go down to Park to watch the Kentucky Derby. I'll probably watch some of the NFL draft. I usually tape, but I watch it and then tape what I can see.
Maybe we'll go to Park. I have class. From 12 to 4.
Maybe watch the Derby, and then I might go to my brother's to watch the fight if he orders it. He said he was going to order it off to make sure he does. If not, I'll try to find somebody. I'll throw up some money to order it with them.
I think my girlfriend got off. If she doesn't, I might join you.
We'll talk. Yeah. And then Friday night, I don't know what's going on Friday.
Friday night, I'm going to be watching the draft somewhere. I just don't know where.
Yeah, I'll watch the second day of the draft. I love the draft. And then yeah, and then maybe see if there's anywhere to go. And then Sundays are usually pretty lazy.
Yeah.
You'd be so hungover from your sports on Saturday that you don't know what to do Sunday.
Absolutely.
So
I watch a Phillies game.
Yeah, I mean, maybe
go
I'll...
out of
it if they're winning. Yeah, maybe I'll go out sometime. Yeah, maybe I'll hit a bar up. What do you got going on?
Oh, man, I'm wide open. Girlfriend, I'm not sure of her schedule. She's off. I'll probably hang with her. I got... June the 4th, I'm going to be training dealer at Harris Philly.
Yeah.
So in 6 weeks, guys, come see me in Harris Philly.
Blackjack dealer, you want to win some money. Or lose some money, I don't know.
we'll find out. We'll test your luck. I should be over there.
Yeah.
Should be a good time, though. I'm definitely...
You talk about the podcast with him. He'll talk about it. Or maybe
absolutely.
Not. I don't know if you're allowed to.
Absolutely. No,
I don't
you
know
can
their
talk
protocol
about
what you can talk about.
You can talk about whatever. Just try to make it fun.
Yeah.
If you want to talk Philly sports with me, I'll talk Philly sports.
And again, I don't think we announced this, but let's just get the social media out there to contact. The phone number, as always, 602-753-1597.
Guys, great calls today.
Great calls. Thanks, Vince, Eric, and
Abel,
thank you again for that call.
Abel, I hope we can talk again, man. I'm going to definitely talk to you on Twitter.
Again, 602-753-1597. Follow us on Twitter at Matt Sisko or Talk with Matt and Garrett. Talk W, Matt and Garrett, letter N, G-A-R-R. Follow us, you can easily get to the other page. Again, at Matt Sisko or at Talk with Matt and Garrett. Talk W, Matt and Garrett. I might change the name because it might be a little confusing.
Yeah. We'll figure it out.
And again, one more time.
Guys, also, I want to remind you, next week we're also going to be coming at you Monday. I've got all kinds of events happening next week. I've got concerts galore, and I've got my dealer training and everything. So we're going to be coming at you Monday night. I'm going to try to do it at the same time around 5:45 p.m. That would be great at getting here.
Yeah, it's pretty easy. So, again, tune in next Monday. There'll be a lot to talk about based on Saturday, of course, and the whole weekend with NFL draft.
Absolutely. We'll see if we might have Mariota here.
Yeah, Mariota might call a show.
Guys, we really appreciate you guys
listening.
Have your
topics ready, call in.
Last week was our second best week. We had about 30 listens. We appreciate
about
every
30 steps.
Yeah,
the week before we were over.
So that was our best week. So we really appreciate every listener that we have. Please feel free to call in. Give us comments. Let us know. We should be on iTunes hopefully in another week or two. Right now they're approving us. Hopefully we get approved. And once we do that, you're going to be able to follow us on iTunes, Stitcher, and everything.
To make it easier to listen.
Absolutely.
So again, 602-753-1597. Save the number, call in next week with the Saturday going on. At Matt Sisko, at Talk with Matt and Garrett on Twitter. Keep in touch, let us know what's on your mind.
We'll see you guys later.
Who is your daddy and what does he do?